Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 53. Awaken.
Lady Pharos, the sun!
Yes, I do possess functional eyes, Lieutenant. I can see very well what has happened,
Camille said through her teeth as she watched the impossible display of the western sun gate splintering apart in a violent detonation of debris. Their scanners had detected an unusual and powerful spike in energy readings near the sun gate just moments ago. No sooner had the external scopes fixed onto that mighty edifice of progress than did it cease to be as the energy spike suddenly punched past the limits of their arrays, and the whole wall practically disintegrated. It was an act of destruction so complete that there would be no salvaging what remained of that once unmistakable landmark.
How?
One of the clan's senior operators whispered the word in disbelief, and although she would never vocalize it, Camille could not help but silently echo the sentiment. She had no illusions that their agents would isolate her location after she had finally played her hand and taken Janna's host from the battlefield. By process of elimination alone, there were only so many places she could fall back to in order to execute her plans safely. None of that was supposed to matter, though. The Western Sun Gate was supposed to be the unbreakable bulwark that kept the Zaunites from attempting any kind of mass assault on Stillwater. How had they... From beyond the ruins of the Sun Gate, the gray billowed out like the noxious miasma that it was, and in the depths of that fog of death which was rolling toward them like a living being, Camille saw a great shadow.
Lieutenant! Isolate grid 5899,
she ordered, and the operator left to obey. Within moments, the screen had pulled in to focus on that shadow, and the scanning arrays tightened around it to project a theoretical outline, which only confirmed Camille's suspicions.
Victor's Leviathan, she whispered. I should have known you'd get involved directly, Machine Herald.
Lady Pharos, the enemy construct is approaching at speed. It will be on the fortress in less than an hour.
Sound the alarm,
Camille snapped.
All hands to ready stations. Prepare for a full frontal assault. If these wretched, fissure-born mutants want a grandiose last stand, then we will give them exactly that.
Turning away from her command crew as the klaxons began to blare, she rose up and stormed out of the panopticon to make for the elevators. Camille clenched her jaw, grinding her teeth as she stepped into the elevator and punched the control key that sent it spiraling down toward the lowest level, then twitched the muscles just below her left ear and activated her personal comm unit.
Ren, we're about to come under siege. Have the good doctor prepare the host for the transfer. There's a possibility they simply intend to kill her before the full breadth of Janna Hrem's power has been processed, and if so, then some power is better than none.
As you command, my lady.
Ren's reply was as perfectly devoted as ever. If only all of her servants could put the kind of energy into their service that Ren did, this war probably would have ended months ago. Sadly, there could only be one Ren Gleamspire. There was no substitute for her darling dove. She was one of a kind. If there was one truly and inarguably good thing that had come out of this whole mess, it was her. Dutiful, forward-thinking, and completely loyal. Ren truly was perfect in every way. Furthermore, since she had already earned every medal Piltover had to offer twice over for her service, Camille resolved to find some more personal way to reward her for her faultless service. Something that was worthy of all the sacrifices she had made in the name of progress. A thought occurred to Camille as she toyed with the hex gem at her throat and she smiled.
I wonder what she would think of the name. Ren Pharos.
Victor's Leviathan was heaving and shuddering as it rode the billowing wave of the gray through the thin atmosphere that lay outside the chasm. And Lux found herself praying that the poor thing held together long enough to at least get them to shore, despite Victor's assurances that it was well within tolerable allowances. The modifications that the Noxians had helped him make had apparently increased its efficiency by quite a lot. However, it still needed the chemicals found only in the gray to function properly, and with the high winds that routinely filled the bay, not even those dense chemicals would remain around for long. They just needed to get there, though. Turning back to the motley crew they'd cobbled together on the deck, Lux laid a hand on the display table. All right, we're hitting the shore in less than an hour. Echo, give us a final rundown on the situation. Echo stood up as Lux stepped back to give him the floor, and like a good general, he took the space comfortably as he reached out and wrapped his fingers around the holographic display of Stillwater itself and pulled to zoom it in. According to Kate, he started, nodding up at Caitlin, who gave him a firm nod back, the reforms left the whole lower half of the prison gutted. Not surprising, since that place was fucking inhumane on a good day. He touched the lower half of the prison and dragged his finger down, highlighting the sublevels in red. Everything you see here is supposed to be empty, but now we know that ain't true. At some point, the clan got their hands on it, and somewhere down in these lower levels is Sarah. May I? Caitlin asked, and Echo nodded before stepping back. Reaching out, Caitlin touched two points on the model, one in the upper levels and one about a third of the way down into the red zone. Stillwater has two points where full control of the prison can be managed. The first is the main chamber, but I was there just months ago and there was nothing unusual, she said, then pointed at the lower of the two points. This is the secondary panopticon, and it should have been rendered defunct by my reforms, but it still has all the necessary hardware to control any security system in the prison. And that is where they'll be keeping Seraphine? Renata asked tersely. Caitlin shook her head. I'm not certain. We don't know how much room whatever machinery they've created needs in order to operate.
Let us assume a lot, Victor said.
Then it's here. Vi stepped in and pointed to a section near the lowest point. If it needs room, they'll have to put it where the old dark yard was. It was an open space for prisoners on the lower levels to get a little physical exercise. It was basically one big torture chamber to entertain the guards, but if you knocked out a few walls and a couple of ceilings, you'd have a nice big space for any doomsday machinery you can think of. Lux chewed on her lips as she looked over the prison. It was a fortress as much as anything, and it was probably designed to be confusing to navigate. Likewise, they were going to have kill zones and choke points set up to repulse intruders, but that's why they were going with quality over quantity. The Grey Legion's best and most murderous, the most veteran squad amongst the Glasgardi wardsmen led by Rana, Echo's most senior firelights, and every former champion they could muster. It would have to be enough. They didn't have anything else left. Lux waved a hand across the display, and it drew back to show Stillwater in its larger scope before gesturing to the roof. There's something going on here, too. The firelights reported a movement of material and hex technology. I suspect that whatever Camille is planning to do, and given whose power she's intent on stealing, requires some kind of apparatus that's exposed to the sky.
Then that's where she'll be, I suppose,
Renata broke in. Presumably, Lux confirmed. Echo rapped his knuckles against the table for attention and said, So that means we've got three objectives, the Dark Yard, the Panopticon, and the roof. That means splitting our power three ways to make sure we cover all our bases, though. I don't know how I feel about that. Plus, Jinx added, we gotta make enough noise and cause enough chaos so that Zack, Ziggs, and Twitch can do their dirty work. Me and Blondie will be blowing our way through the upper levels for that, so I guess we'll take the roof. To everyone's surprise, Renata said,
I will as well.
Echo looked up at her with a raised eyebrow. Really? Sarah's almost guaranteed to be on one of the lower levels, though.
But Camille will be here.
Renata gestured to the roof with one of her claws, then looked back up at the gathered crew.
I trust you all to look after my wife, even you lot.
She nodded to the Piltoven side of the table.
Because regardless of your various and sundry inadequacies, you are all still good people. I, on the other hand, am not. And I have fashioned myself into a means to remove Camille as a threat once and for all. And if that requires leaving my wife's direct rescue to others, then that is what I will do.
You can just say you want vengeance, you know, Vi said thinly.
But I don't,
Renata replied surprisingly.
I simply want my wife to be safe and sound. Camille and her horrible little doe will die because they are a threat to Sarah's existence, and I cannot abide that. But revenge is something I can no longer afford. Not if it endangers Seraphine.
Caitlin gave a solemn nod. Whatever our differences, I swear I will make sure she's safe. Then turned to Lux. Vi and I will take the Dark Yard. She knows the lowest levels better than anyone. I'll go with them, Chase said. Now, if there's advanced hex tech there, then they might need a specialist.
True, Caitlin admitted.
Guess that means I'll take the Panopticon, Echo said. Heimerdinger raised a hand at that and added,
I'll accompany you then. As Jace pointed out, you may need a specialist, and that section will most likely be a combination of advanced hex tech and old clockwork, which is my specialty.
Given their current situation, that was everyone. Ferris was still recovering from the wounds she took during the battle in Piltover, while Victor remained on board his Leviathan both to protect it from potential attack and to conduct as many field repairs as possible to maximize their odds of being able to exfiltrate with any kind of grace. That was, of course, assuming any of them were left alive to do so. If this didn't work, then it would be irrelevant.
So that's it then, huh?
Jinx asked quietly. And for some reason, it was those simple words that really dropped the weight of what they were about to attempt onto them. Silence pervaded the bridge of the Leviathan as each of the disparate figures within looked to one another. Friends and enemies, lovers and kin, stood within arm's reach, and in front of them lay the threat of incalculable death. In that moment, Lux wanted nothing more than to give up. She wanted to turn to Jinx, tell her that she'd changed her mind, and then just flee somewhere where they could live out their lives in peace, except that wasn't an option. Not with their daughter on the line. Swallowing thickly, Lux laid a hand over her abdomen and briefly wondered what it would feel like, what it would be like for someone like her, someone as irrevocably insane as Jinx ever was, even if it was less noticeable, to have a child, to be a mother. A mechanical hand settled over Lux's, and she looked up to find Jinx offering her a rare, calm smile, one that didn't stretch her face into her usual rictus. Then it faded back to its usual manic state as Jinx turned to the rest of them and said,
Since I got no idea if any of us are gonna survive this, I'm just gonna tell all you idiots this now. After this shit's all said and done, Blondie and me are gonna have a baby. She's gonna have green hair, big brown eyes, and be magic just like her mom. And her name's gonna be Zeri.
Jinx's voice hitched,
and she's gonna be my little girl. And she's gonna call me Papa, and that's why we're gonna win, because I'm not gonna die before I get to hear my baby girl's voice.
The whole room was staring at them now, and despite everything, all Lux could do was burst into a fit of giggles as tears streamed down her face. She turned and buried herself against Jinx, squeezing for all she was worth while Jinx gently rubbed her back. It was Vi who broke the silence. I'm gonna be an aunt? She asked. Lux looked up at her at the same time Jinx did. Truly uncertain as to how to answer that, not even Caitlin looked like she was ready to hear the answer. Jinx gave one anyway, though.
I don't know,
Jinx said quietly.
Guess it depends.
Vi's jaw clenched visibly as she said, Depends on what?
Are we still sisters?
The question hung in the air between them, and Vi lowered her head. Caitlin pressed her lips to a thin line as she took Vi's hand, and Echo looked away. This was, Lux knew, something old and painful that lay between them. It was the stark divide of two siblings on opposite sides of a war, truly coming to grips with one another for the first time in a very long time. Vi had always been looking toward the future, and for years fought to solve the problems between Piltover and Zaun from where she believed the most good could be done, all in an attempt to keep war from coming to the two cities. Jinx had, even in the depths of her madness, remained trapped in the past, endlessly enacting her dead father's will against the city that had killed so many of her people. And all the while, Echo had, in a great stroke of irony, remained planted firmly in the present as he tried each day to keep the light of hope burning for the people of Zaun.
I want to be, Vi said finally. I never stopped wanting to be.
And why'd you stop trying?
Jinx asked, her voice still brittle and shaky.
You were crazy, Powder.
Powder is dead!
Jinx snapped.
She fell down a well! I'm Jinx, and it stands for Jinx! and I've always been crazy, Vi, but...
She wrapped an arm around Lux's waist.
And that never stopped Blondie.
That's not fair, Caitlin said bitterly, but an arm came up between them. Caitlin stopped and turned to look at her wife, whose expression was set into a hard look of anger. Not anger at Jinx, though, anger at herself. She's right, Cupcake. I did stop trying. I stopped because... because it was too hard. Because I didn't think there was anything left to save, and... even if I'd been right about that, it don't change the fact that I stopped trying. She looked back up at Jinx and said, I don't have any right to ask after I gave up on you, but maybe one day we can bury the hatchet. Be sisters again. Jinx nodded.
Sure. You know what you gotta do.
Vi sighed and nodded.
Yeah,
she muttered. I'll try. Another heavier silence fell over the group again, and this time Lux wasn't sure how to breach it. There was a lot of darkness between Vi and Jinx, and maybe that was for the best. Maybe they needed to stay put, maybe not, though. Jinx loved her sister, even after everything that happened, and it was obvious Vi loved Jinx right back. So it was to everyone's mild shock that Heimerdinger broke out from the group to approach both herself and Jinx with his hands behind his back and mustache twitching faintly with a small smile.
Since no one has said it yet, let me be the first on behalf of everyone here to say, congratulations, Miss Lux, he said, holding out a hand. I am very happy for you.
Really? Lux asked. Genuinely uncertain how to take that, given who she was, who Jinx was, who Heimerdinger was, and who their daughter would inevitably become.
Of course,
Heimerdinger replied jovially.
No matter who or where or why, a new life is always something to be treasured and celebrated.
Well, thanks,
Jinx muttered. Then looked up at the rest of the Piltovens as she said,
Hey, why wasn't this guy in charge of you dipshits?
Everyone turned to look at Jace, who perhaps wisely said nothing.
How inspiring!
Renata's voice cut through as she took a step forward, and the deck plates shuddered slightly under her, her presence dominating all as she raised a prosthetic claw that burned with shimmer-bright light. Lux turned to regard the now monolithic Kembaran. Truthfully, she felt nothing but the deepest regret for Renata Glask. If Jinx had been the one taken, Lux had no doubt she would have gone just as far as Renata had to ensure she had the power to punish those responsible. That didn't mean she necessarily liked Renata. She liked Sarah, though. She liked her very much, loved her even. With whatever embers she had in her to offer beyond her all-consuming devotion to Jinx, so she did like how far Renata was willing to go.
A little inspiration never hurt anyone, Lux said with a thin smile.
On the contrary,
Renata replied darkly.
Inspiration rarely does anything but harm. Ask the mages who your Silas of Dregborn inspired, and were then executed by the throne of Demacia, or the Cadre of Piltover inspired by Miss Gleamspire's unhinged, hyper-nationalistic rants, or even our own soldiers who fight and die for us every day.
She closed her clawed fingers into a tight fist.
Inspiration is, in fact, one of the most dangerous things in the world. Why, just look at me.
The looks on the faces of the Piltovens, if nothing else, suggested they wanted to do no such thing, and so, of all of them, it was only Heimerdinger who did just that. The sorrow on his aged features touched even Lux's stained soul.
Piltover gave me all the inspiration I needed to destroy them when they murdered my family over a profit calculation. Likewise, Camille Pharos gave me all the inspiration that I required to end her miserable life when she kidnapped my wife. Do not mistake me for the sentimental fool that my wife insists I am, because I do not care for your inspiration. What I care for is that at the end of this inspiring tale, she is alive, and Camille Pharos and her mechanical whore are dead. That means I will sacrifice anyone in this room without hesitation or regret in furtherance of that end.
Her fist burned with venomous light, illuminating every face at the table as she brought it down with a thunderous crash that shook the room and made the holographic image shudder.
So do not speak to me of inspiration, my dear. Speak to me of iron, and speak to me of intent. Because whatever soul-soothing motivations you subscribe to, it is my intent to kill everything on that island but my wife. And if there are any among us now who do not carry that same conviction and intent, then may I politely suggest you consider very carefully what you are willing to die for.
Of everyone, of course, it was Jinx who would laugh. It was a short, truncated snort of amusement as she crossed her arms and said,
"Don't need to tell me twice, Glask. Anyone between me and my baby girl is just meat, and that includes you."
"Agreed," Luck said cheerfully. "Everyone over there is trying to stop me from having my first child, so they're all as good as dead anyway." Her smile turned sharp-edged and manic. "The same goes for you if you so much as twitch those claws in mine or Jinx's direction, understood?" The tension at the table had thickened to something cloying, and it was most evident among the Piltovans. Even Echo looked less than thrilled at the direction the conversation had taken. But despite everything, Renata seemed to relax as she pulled her fist out of the dent she'd left in the table, crossed her arms, nodded, and said, "Good." Lux returned her nod and looked to the Piltovans, who were staring at them with varying mixtures of shock, disgust, wariness, and no shortage of what Lux suspected were second thoughts. Despite Renata's advice, though, it was too late to dip out now, so instead she just offered everyone a more genial smile and said, "Now that that's over, let's decide where to smash this engine of destruction into the prison." The air wasn't exactly clear, but she got enough nods that Lux felt reasonably certain she'd steered things back on track. Caitlin gestured at the front gate of the hollow a moment later and said, "The main elevator's close to the front, but it's the best defended section of the prison. Still, if we're planning to bludgeon our way in for maximum speed, it may be worthwhile." "True," Lux allowed, if a bit grudgingly. Surprisingly, Vi shook her head, countering her own wife as she pointed to a section along the eastern flank of the prison that lay close to the cliffsides and, therefore, nearer to the water. "Nah, here."
"And what makes you so certain of that?"
Renata drawled. "I was locked in that hellhole for years, remember? They used to use prisoners for manual labor like loading and unloading," Vi said darkly as she met Renata's chem-scorched gaze. "And that section of wall is closest to the freight elevator that the dock uses. Looks sturdy, but it's basically hollow, and opens up into a big old shaft that runs from the ground floor to the basement. Won't get you to the roof, but...
but it'll get everyone else pointed in the right direction, and we were planning on shooting our way up anyway," Jinx said,
picking up the thread of logic as she moved to Vi's side and leaned next to her, grinning all the while.
"Besides," she added, reaching out to tap the section of wall Vi indicated, "what kind of Zonite goes in the front door when they can come in low into the side?"
At that moment, Lux could finally see the family resemblance as the two sisters shared the briefest flicker of a smile. It was brittle and passing, and Caitlin's dark expression certainly didn't help matters, but it was there all the same. Putting her back to the gathered motley, Lux stalked toward the great viewport, slowly filling with the immense bulk of still water. She raised her arm and let her hand hover over the fortress where Camille was digging in to fulfill her final gambit, then closed her fingers around it. At the same time, Vi moved to her side and took her other hand. Metal fingers slid and locked into place like the pieces of a puzzle, and Lux held tight as she let her real smile slip across her face. "Steal as much power as you want," Lux whispered, feeling an uncontrollable flame of mad hate light in her chest. "Break the bonds of the earth, and claw your way to the heavens if you can. I will drag you right back down, push your face into the dirt, and drown you in the filth of this world." She closed her fingers into a fist, then touched the comlink on the collar of her exosuit and said, Victor, all power forward. Give us ramming speed.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.